compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy grace. Mercy and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings, O man, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. I always enjoy Mrs. Garner sings because I like watching people because they help get up to those high notes. Don't you know? Look at it. You know what I'm talking about. I watched you. You know, I saw your eyebrows raise and trying to help her. But she made it. Amen? And that was wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Garner, for ministering in music and using God-given abilities and talents to worship the Lord. Well, thank you for being here this morning and being a part of our Sunday morning service. Please find your Bible, if you would, and turn to Job chapter 38. Job chapter number 38. We're just going to read just a few verses. Now, we're going to examine quite a few verses in Job 38 this morning and maybe even look over into another chapter or two, if we have time this morning. Job chapter 38, would you stand with me? We're going to just read just the first four verses together, if you'll follow along silently as I read out loud. Job 38, beginning in verse number 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Now I want to take basically more verses than the four we read there. It's just going to kind of get us into the message this morning. But I think all of us know the story of Job, how that God used this man in an incredible way to prove a point that, you know what? You can trust God. You can trust God. And he used a man, by the way, understanding that Job was not privy to the information that we have here. He didn't know everything that was going on. He didn't know what was happening there. But you know what? He knew that he loved God, and he knew that God had been faithful to him all these years, and that God wasn't, through some miraculous way, God wasn't going to fail him now. But you know what? He was human. He was just like you and I. Question marks come up in your mind about certain situations. And I want to take Job verse or chapter 38, maybe look at another verse or two out of another chapter, because when we come to Job 38 here, after all that he's been through, he's gone through three friends. Boy, how would you like friends like that? But he's gone through three friends that have told him just about everything that they suspected was wrong, and that they knew that something had to be ill will with God in his life in order for things like this to happen. And so he had endured all of that, and then God spoke. And that's what I want to use this morning and preach to you on this subject, a lecture from God. A lecture from God. Father, would you bless our time together this morning? Thank you for being such a good God. Thank you for caring for our soul, for teaching us lessons in life through means that we never dreamed that you would use. But Lord, you have brought all of us to a place in our lives to where we now have recognized the goodness of God. Now I pray, Lord, that you would manifest it in our lives, that we would live for you and serve you all the days of our life. Sometimes things don't seem to be as they appear. And yet, Lord, you teach us through the Word of God how to handle and deal with all types of situations in life. Now, would you bless the preaching and teaching of your Word, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory for every result of the message this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. How many of you have ever been to a lecture before or a seminar before? And you've sat through hours and hours of teaching. You've sat through hours of lecturing. And, you know, there's one reason and one reason only for a lecture. And normally that is to address a specific subject or enlighten us on a specific subject that is vital information concerning something that you're concerned about in life. And here in our text today, we have a lecture from God to a man that was a perfect man, that was a good man, but had faced some difficulties in life. Kind of like most of us, we've sat before in the presence of mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, and we've sat through a few lectures in our life. Now, some of those lectures ended up with a little bit of discipline attached to the lecture. And some of those lectures, mom and dad sat us down, not trying to hurt us, not trying to be unkind to us, but trying to instruct us about something that was vital in our life that either needed to be corrected or some information that we needed to be enlightened about. And my parents were very good in enlightening. Now, I was raised back in the day, you know, in the day, when my parents, they weren't real apt on lecturing. They would pretty much state the facts and then just move right into the corporal punishment. That was kind of about the lecture. And by the way, folks, it didn't damage me. I'm not warped. I'm not folded up in a shell somewhere insecure. I wasn't abused. I was disciplined the right way. And they brought me to a place to where, yeah, there was a little bit of lecturing, but it also brought forth discipline sometimes. And may I say to you that lectures are only beneficial if we put to practice what is being said. I mean, why would we spend money and go to a seminar and listen to all of this stuff and do nothing? And we've spent all this money. We spent the registration fee, the hotel fee, the gas, the food, all of that to go and do nothing. then you know what? Then we've wasted our time when we went to the seminar or the lecture. You know, God has quite a unique way of getting our attention when it's time for Him to lecture. Because when He speaks, you will listen. Now, the thing about it is you may not do anything about it, but you will listen. And sometimes He brings us to a place when we decide, you know what, I'm really not interested, God, in what you have to say today. He has a unique way of bringing you to a place to where you will listen and you will pay attention. My parents had somewhat of that unique way to bring me to a place. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I was a very strong-willed child. I was a very, non-compliant child. And my parents had a way of bringing me to a place of compliance and bringing me to a situation to where I will listen. Now, I didn't always follow the lecture and the information that was given. But, you know, I found out that later on that if I'd listened, it would probably save me a bunch of problems. Now, God begins to address Job and begins to kind of open up a little mini seminar here and begins His lecturing to, listen, this is not a bad man. This is not a wicked man. This is a good man, a perfect man. It's just that he was human. And God wanted to reemphasize some things to him in life. And I don't have time to go through everything, so I'm just going to kind of pick and choose a little bit this morning, I think, some things that God lectured to Job about that will help us in our daily walk. First of all, if you'll notice in verse number 2, listen to what he says. He says, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? I think here God says, okay, Job, straighten up. Look up here. He says, I want to lecture you on this subject. First of all, don't be so quick to judge. Don't be so quick to judge things when you don't have all the facts and all the information. You know, sometimes it's better for us just not to say anything than to open our mouth having no knowledge and darkened counsel and not know the full whole truth of the matter. It's better for us just to back off a little bit and just wait and see what God's going to reveal. Instead of jumping in the middle of God's business and doing something that you're going to regret for the rest of your life. Now, all I'm saying to you, he said, listen, lecture number one, point number one, breakout session number one, is don't be too quick to judge people. You see, sometimes we don't have all the facts. Some of us say, well, you know, I don't know why preaching people acting that way. There may be a reason they're acting that way. You see, we don't have all the facts. So instead of saying, boy, you know, I think I'm going to distance myself from those people, let's try to find out and approach that brother or sister in Christ or approach that person and try to minister to them and find out, brother, can I help you? Is there something I can do for you? Can I pray with you? You see, sometimes we're very quick to judge when we don't have all the facts. May I say also to you sometimes that God does put through people through testings. Yeah, He puts them through testing times. And by the way, you'll find out in Scripture that God put everybody through tests, not just those who disobeyed. There were all, listen, you know what Job was being put through? A test. It's a good man. It's not a wicked man. Not a bad man. It's a good man. And yet God was testing him and finding out, you know what? Listen, God has pretty good confidence in someone that He'll turn over to the devil and say, try him. Have you checked this person out? I wonder if God came down today and He addressed some of us and He said, listen, you know what? I'm going to put you through a test, so I'm going to turn you over to the devil. The only thing that he can't do is kill you. I wonder how many of us today that God said, have you checked out my servant so-and-so? Have you considered my servant so-and-so? I wonder if some of us would even qualify about this. See, sometimes we got to be careful. Don't be too quick to judge. Sometimes God is using testings in people's life. A lot of times when we speak out not knowing the facts, many times we hurt people foolishly. We hurt people foolishly by not knowing the circumstances that they're going through. And by the way, can I say something to you? You don't have to know all the facts to help somebody. You don't have to know all the facts. You just have to know, look, I sense that person is hurting. And I sense that person needs to be ministered to. You don't have to tell me all the facts. All I have to do is go and say, listen, you know what? Can I help you? Can I do something for you? You don't have to tell me what the problem is. I just got to be willing to do something. I don't have to know all the details. Don't have to. You see, all he's trying to say, Joe, listen, lecture one, breakout session one, don't be too quick to judge. And by the way, this would go well for his other little cronies that were there with him too. You see, isn't it amazing how that sometimes we look at the person that we think, you know, man, these people are walking with God, they're winning souls. Boy, I don't know. God must be really on their case about something. He may be just trying to work out some impurities. He may be just trying to deal with some things in their life to make them a better soul winner, a better testimony for Christ. Don't be too quick to judge, because you don't always have all the facts. You see, he just simply said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Anybody in here besides this preacher ever spoken words without knowledge? And normally what happens is this. Normally by the time you get home and realize what you said you shouldn't have said, by the time you get home and you ask the wife, honey, what are we having for lunch today? She says about a size 10 and a half. Because you know what? You just put your foot in your mouth. I don't know about you, but I don't like shoe leather. It's not good for lunch. But I tell you something, I've eaten it a bunch of times. And you know what? Listen to me, I was dead wrong. And when we admit that you're dead wrong, you misjudged something, or you spoke unkindly, then you know what? Then you need to go fix the situation. Don't just let it go. Go fix it. Go fix it. I'm just saying to you, first of all, lecture, breakout session number one, a lecture from God. He said, Joe, don't be too quick to judge. Let me show you the second thing. Now, this one gets a little bit tough right here, because then he tells him in verse number three. It's almost like he was challenging his manhood here. Notice what he said. He says, gird up now thy loins like a man. He said, gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. So what do you think he's talking about here, preacher? I think what he says here is, now since we've gone now to the first hour of lecturing and our first breakout session, don't be so quick to judge, I think lecture number two that he's trying to bring across here is grow up. Hey, you know what we need to be? Folks, listen, we need to be tender-hearted but thick-skinned. You know the Bible talks about those that are very easily offended? Listen, it is not a sign of super spirituality. It's a sign of weakness. It's a sign of a lack of a walk with God. Because you know what? Let me tell you something. In Christianity, you will face offenses. You will from different people. I think he's telling him here, listen, gird up thy loins like a man. Grow up. Be a mature adult in Christ. I think also he's saying here, be responsible. Boy, I tell you one thing, that's a dirty word today in our society because nobody wants to be responsible for anything. But boy, we're real quick to point at somebody that's their fault about it, but we don't want to be personally responsible for anything. You see, I think what he wants us to do here in our lecture is not only not to be too quick to judge, but to grow up and be responsible for your own actions. There's a principle that goes with this. If you're new, let me just quote the verse to you out of Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, we need to grow up, be responsible. Hey, if you've done wrong, make it right. If you break something, fix it. If you lose it, replace it. Tell you one thing, my daddy, before I led him to Christ, he wasn't even saved and taught me all these things. He said, I'm going to tell you something. You break it, you fix it. He said, if you lose it, you will replace it. And boy, I tell you one thing, I was out some money. He said, what kind of job do you have? Well, it was kind of that lost and found job where you just went under the cushions of the couch and pulled them up and put your hands down in the couch and started trying to find all kinds of things. You'd find quarters and dimes, but you'd also find French fries and tater chips and all kinds of things down in there. I couldn't spend those, but listen, I was willing to pull those out to get the change that fell down in there. But you know how good my father was? Sometimes when he realized, you know what, Dad, I broke this. Man, this is, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, well, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the money to replace it, but you will work it off. I work for nothing. Man, get somebody, try to get some kid today and say, listen, you know what, you're going to be working. What am I going to make? Nothing. Huh, go find somebody else. Let me tell you something. You know what, it'd be good for some of us, and I'm talking about some of our young people, to work. And just work because you need to learn how to work and work for nothing. Whether somebody gave you a red cent or not. Just do it to learn. Learn a trade. Some of you teenage young ladies, get with some of these ladies that are good seamstress and go and say, listen, can you teach me how to sew? Or some of you young men, get with some of these men that have businesses and say, listen, hey, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you get with Shane Jones, you'll lay a few bricks from now. Huh? Tell you one thing, by the time you get back to that PlayStation, them little fingers right there, they won't be as tender as they were. And you'll say, I can't hold my control. Hey, I'm just telling you, what we need to do, what he's saying is lecture, grow up, be responsible. Be thick-skinned, but be tender and compassionate in the meantime. Hey, let me tell you something, and we'll move on to something else. You say, man, I'm getting worn out here. We need to get rid of this everybody's out to get me attitude. Hey, nobody out to get you. Nobody's out to get me. They don't want me. Oh, they don't know me, right? So why would they want to get me? There's nobody out to get me except the devil. And I've already identified him. I can kind of see where he's coming from and what he's trying to do. Hey, folks, you know what I'm saying? We got to get over this attitude that everybody's out to get me. That because someone makes a mistake, oh, they must have some ulterior motives. And we sit out there and we look out the blind, see if they're going to come cut our tires or something. And we stay up all night. Come on. We need to get over that. We need to grow up, be responsible, be thick-skinned. Get over these attitudes that people are out to get us. Let me tell you something. God's already identified who's out to get you. He called him a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That's the only person out to get you. Hey, let me tell you something. God's for you. God's for you. He's not out to get you. Hey, where did we get this Christianity? God's out to get us. Hey, no, he's for us. Now listen to me, he's not out to get me, but one day he's coming back to get me. He's just not here working and figuring out what he can do to get me. He's not out there trying to bait me like I'm sitting out a mouse trap or something. He's not trying to bait me into something that I'll do it, whack. That's not God's word. You don't find that in the Bible. Hey, I'm just saying, God's in the lecturing mood here. He said, Job, don't be too quick to judge. Number two, grow up, be mature, be responsible. I think number three you'll find in verse 4. He says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. He says, let me ask you something. Where were you in the beginning? You didn't even exist. You weren't even a molecule. You didn't have any DNA. Where were you when I created and established the foundations of the earth? You say, what is he trying to lecture here? I think here is breakout session number 3. We've taken a break. We've gone to lunch. We're coming back for the next lecture. Here's what I think he's trying to tell him. I'm in control of everything. I am in total control of everything. You know how I know God's in control of everything? Because if the sun was just a few more miles closer to the earth, we'd burn up. If it was just a few more miles further away from the earth, we'd freeze to death. So you know what? God's got the sun exactly where he wants it. And you know what the earth is doing? We're just whipping around that thing like this. Just having a good old time. You know why? God's in total control. Isn't it amazing that God is so in control that he can put us on a planet that they say is whipping around the sun at a lot faster than you think we are. And you know what? I'm staying on. It's not flinging me off. You know, I'm not flying through, you know, the atmosphere somewhere. Some of us think, oh my goodness, hang on. It's Buzz Lightyear. We're fixing to go through the air. God's going to fling us off. No, He's not. He's in total control. He's just simply saying, you know what? I'm in control of everything. Because He asked him, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you got some understanding. Tell me. And you know what our answer to that is? We can't. You know why? Because we didn't exist other than in the mind of God. You see, God's in control. Hey, folks, can I say something to you? He knows the details of everybody's life. He knows all the details. He already knows everything you're going through. Oh, can I say this to you? Because He's such a good God, He already knows what you're going to go through and can already prepare for that day. You see, He hasn't forgotten anyone, and all power belongs to Him. You know what I think He's just trying to do? He's just trying to remind Job of something Job already knew. Have God ever done that to you? Just kind of take you aside and give you a lecture and remind you of something you already know that you just kind of forgot? Or not put into practice. You say, how much does He do that to you, preacher? Well, let's see, how many days are there in a year? However many days are in a year, 365, that's how many days. Because He's reminding me all the time that He's a good God. And regardless of what comes my way, He's still a good God. And He's going to continue to be a good God. And He's going to continue to get all the glory and all the praise that He deserves out of your life and my life. God is in control. Turn to verse 15. Let me show you something else quickly. Verse 15. He's continuing on now in the lecture session. Don't be quick to judge. Grow up, be mature, be responsible. And then he says in his lecture that I'm in total control. I've already got control. He said, Job, you know what? I already knew everything was going to happen. I even know these three knuckleheads were going to come and they were going to sit and just stare at you for an entire week. I already knew all that. I already knew that all this is going to happen. I already knew that your kids were going to pass away. I already knew you were going to lose everything. I already knew all that. But you know something else he already knew that Job didn't know? That He was going to give him twofold more than what he had. God already knew that as well. But now listen to me. Job didn't know that. And the thing about it is we labor for Christ and all of a sudden things come. And we think, oh my goodness, I'm in a situation. Can I say God already knows what He's going to do in His favor in your life? He already knows that. He already knows what He's going to do for you. But I want you to notice in verse 15, let me give you something else here that God in His lecture covered in the seminar here. Verse 15, He says, and from the wicked, their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. He said, now listen, lest you misunderstand, Mr. Job, part of the lecture today is this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. What He's telling him is, I will render vengeance. You can go read that in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 30. You see, the thing about it is what he's saying, listen, I know exactly what to do to bring anybody to get ultimate glory from their life. He said, I bring vengeance. It's all mine. Folks, let me tell you something. You know where I've gotten in a lot of trouble in my life is trying to take things into my own hands and try to make somebody do something because of a situation between me and that person. And I just thought, you know what? I want to make you. You ain't going to make nobody do anything. And you know what? The best thing to do is just forgive that person and move on down the road with your Christian life and turn them over to God. Can I say, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like God's hook here, and you just take that person and put them on God's hook and say, okay, they're all yours. And when you do that, you know what you'll do? You'll be free. You'll be free. Let God have His way in this area of rendering vengeance. Hey, He's going to bring justice with purpose. God's not into this. I'm going to get you back because of what you've done to me or the church or one of my people. What God is saying, listen, I'm going to bring justice because of what you've done, and there's going to be a purpose behind how I deal with you so that you'll learn from what the experience you just went through. Hey, God's not in it for us for just to punish. God's in it for a purpose. Hey, His purpose sometimes is to get our attention. To get our attention. Because sometimes, you know what we are? We kind of get sidetracked and, you know, we got all stars in our eyes and we're looking everywhere and different things happening. So many things are happening in life these days. It's so fast-paced. It's easy to get our attention off of the main thing. Sometimes God has to bring things back into our life to get our attention. There's a purpose. He's trying to accomplish good. And may I say to you that no one will escape the hand of God. Nobody. Nobody's going to escape the hand of God. So it's best for you to just go ahead and take any situation that comes, put it on the hook of God, pull the strings. Okay, God, it's all yours, and let him reel them in. He'll take care of it. And I promise you, he'll take care of it that'll benefit you and them in the whole situation. Well, let me show you another one here. Look down at verse number 16. He says, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? I'm going to come back to that verse in just a minute. Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? Or as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it? Because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? I think here, in this particular case, I think what God wants to lecture Job about here is this. God doesn't expect you to know everything, nor does he intend for you to know everything. He doesn't expect you to know everything, and he doesn't intend for you to know everything. Because the thing about this, folks, if you and I knew everything, some of us, it's scared to death. So God's not intending us to know everything, and not is he intending us to expect us to know everything. Listen, God has given us the Word of God. It's his revelation that he wants you and I to have right here in your hand this morning. This is what he wants you to know, right here. So stop trying to figure out where God came from, or where Cain got his wife, or any of that other stuff. It's okay. Listen, folks, God's not expecting you to know everything, but he's also not intending you to know everything. Boy, there's this one little thing I hate to throw out here, but I need to throw out here. It's called faith. You're just going to have to believe God. You don't have to have all the answers or all the facts. You're just going to have to believe God. You know, there's been so many different things in my life. You know what I've had to do? I've just had to say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't have any wisdom. I don't have any knowledge on this. I'm just going to have to trust you. Listen to me. I heard a songwriter say one time, when you can't see his hand, trust the heart. Trust his heart. Because you know what? He's in it for your good and for your glory. See, he's telling Job, you know what? He says, have you been down to the springs of the sea? He says, oh, by the way, when someone cuts the lights on in a dark room, where does the darkness go? Oh, let's see. What did I learn in my physics class? What did I learn in the... Listen, stop trying to figure all that out. Just trust God. You say, listen, if that was a question on one of my tests and they said, what happens to the darkness when the light comes on? I would just write on my test, it goes away. He said, where does the darkness come from when the light goes out? It came in. I don't have to know all the details. And neither do you. Look down at verse 22 real quick. Let me hit on this one. I want to go back to verse 17 for a moment. He says, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Now, last Sunday, we enjoyed a little snow. I said a little snow. But the unique thing about snow is this. They tell us that every snowflake is different. There are no two exactly the same. Man, you know what? That kind of sounds like people, doesn't it? That kind of sounds like there's no one here today that's exactly the same. And yet there's a God in heaven that loves you regardless. He loves you regardless of whether you're exactly like somebody else. Hey, what I think he's telling Job here is, get to know me. I made the snowflakes. I'm the one that created them. And he says, every one of those little snowflakes are different. Every one of those little snowflakes, they have a purpose. By the way, did you know when snow settles on the ground, it's not a bad thing because it actually carries some good minerals with it that go down in the ground? If you don't believe that, go ask these people in the Midwest.
They're not anti-snow. Hey, there's some good to it. And may I say to you today that, you know what, though you're going through something in life, God just wants you to get to know Him and trust Him. Well, let me give you one more. Go back to verse 17. Man, this is a long seminar, isn't it? Hey, let me tell you something, folks. I've been to those 2 and 3 day seminars. You don't know what long is till you sit somewhere for hours and hours and hours. But you know what? You know why we go there? We go there for help, don't we? We go there because we're assuming that that individual that is lecturing has something that is going to be able to help me and affect me in life. That's what God's doing. Joe, have a seat right here. I'm going to lecture you. Just sit there and listen to what I have to say. Now, he said a whole lot of other things, but let me conclude by saying this. Verse 17. He says, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Now, let me say this to you. Joe went through a lot. But you know what God's telling him? He said, oh, by the way, did you see the gates of death open to you? Well, no, but it sure hurt my body. These guys may have hurt my feelings and told me all these things. Yeah, oh, I went through all of these emotional experiences. He said, that's not what I asked. I said, did the gates of death open to you? Well, no. And what you concerned about? Can I say something to you? You say, what is he trying to tell him here? I think the conclusion to the seminar is this. God is in control of my day of departure. You are not in control. God is in control. He has set bounds about your life, and you will not go beyond them. You drive through a cemetery, don't care which one it is. Get out sometimes and just walk through there and look at the headstones. You'll find they're all ages. All ages. Why? Because God is in control of your departure. And that's what he's telling Job here. He says, my friend, yes, you went through some trials. Yes, you lost family. Yes, yes, yes. He said, but my question to you is, did the gates of death open to you? Well, no. Did you come to a point to where you were just right on the brink of death and I jerked you back into life? Well, no. What he's trying to tell him, here's the lecture. I'm in control of your day of departure. You see, you and I are alive today only because God wants you alive. You're only alive because God wants you alive. You say, what does he want me alive? It's probably more than going home and watching the playoffs. Amen, preacher. You see, it's probably more he's got us alive so that we can do what we want to do. I have a feeling he's got us alive because he wants us to do something for him and for his glory. You see, you haven't seen the gates of death opened. You haven't seen the gates of death open for some here today because some of you need Jesus. And he's kept you alive. And he's kept you alive. And he's kept you alive, hoping that at some point that you're going to respond to a message or to an appeal about coming to Jesus Christ. You see, you're alive because God wants you alive. And some of us haven't seen the gates of death because we need the Lord. You need Jesus. May I say to those believers here today, some of you haven't seen the doors of the shadow of death either, because there's some things you need to get right with God about before you face Him. Because folks, listen, a congregation this big, more than likely, there will be some who will have the doors of death and the gates of death open to you this year. Think about that. Because I'm here to tell you that there's a God in heaven that controls your day of departure. And some of us may depart in 2011. You say, what if it's you, preacher? Then if it's me, for absent from this old rotten, filthy, stinking flesh, is present with the Lord. Let me tell you something. You say, preacher, aren't you afraid to die? Why? Why am I afraid tonight? I ain't trying to get there. I'm not trying to expedite things. But if I do, you mean to tell me, why should I be afraid of heaven? Why should I be afraid of immortality? Why should I be afraid of an incorruptible body? I'm not afraid of that. And neither should you if you're a believer today. But if you're here this morning without Christ, may I say to you, pay attention to the part of the lecture this morning that Jesus, that God spoke and lectured. He said, has the gates of death opened unto you? Because for some of you it may. Don't leave today without knowing Jesus Christ, because they could open to you this year. Listen to the lecture, because God is lecturing some today. Would you bow your heads for a moment, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I know, no question about it, I've been born into the family of God. I've accepted Christ. I remember accepting Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. You say, preacher, that's me. Don't you slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. Not ashamed of it. I am a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Wonderful, wonderful. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I'm just going to simply turn this invitation over to the mighty hand of God. And Father, I pray that through everything this morning that you would work. And I pray for those who could not raise their hand in just a moment, that they would, Lord, step out and come and let someone open the Word of God to them and make that appeal of salvation to them through Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, this morning that there might be some believers this morning who might be facing the gates of death this year. That, Lord, they would come this morning, if there is aught in their life, if there is something going on in their heart and they're not ready to meet you and face you like they are, that this morning they would come and cleanse their heart and their mind and their spirit from those things. I pray that you'd have your way. Bless, we pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your word and for the lecturing that we get, Lord, in our heart and our spirit from you, because it's beneficial. You have a great desire to help us in every area of our life. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand just a moment ago and say that I've been saved and I've been born into the family of God. But boy, I sure have been thinking about this. And what you said this morning about the gates of death opening up has opened my eyes and my spirit to my need. If you're here this morning and you'd say, preacher, if I died right where I sit today, I cannot say that I'm going to heaven. I have some doubt about it, but I want to know. Would you pray with me about that? If you're like that this morning and you let me pray with you, would you slip your hand up and you can slip it right back down and you say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Just slip it up, slip it up. Who'll be the second one? Here's one. Just slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I'm saved and been born into the family of God, but I want to be. I want to be. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just slip it up. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Who'll be the third? Who'll be the third? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. I cannot honestly say that I'm saved. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning and you would say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized according to the Scriptures. I know that it's the right thing to do. I know it's what the Bible teaches, and for whatever reason, I've just never followed through with it. Would you pray with me? I need to take care of that in my life. Would you be honest? No one's looking but me. Slip your hand up. Say, preacher, that's me. I've already been saved, never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's Scripture, and I know it's the right thing to do. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Say, preacher, that's me. Balcony or bottom floor. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, preacher, I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. But if the Lord came back today, I'm not ready to meet him like I am. There are some things in my life I know I need to address. There are some things in my life that I know that I need to get right and make right. Would you pray with me? I know I need to make them right. I know I need to make them right. If you're like that this morning, you say, preacher, that's me. I'm not ready to face the Lord like I am. There's some things in my life I need to address. And you'd say, would you pray with me? I want you to slip your hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. God bless you and you and you. Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. There's some things in my life that I need to address if the Lord were to come back today. God bless you. Anybody else? There's five or six, seven. God bless you. There's another one. Anybody else? God bless you and you. Anybody else? You can slip your hand down. Anybody? Be honest, folks. This church. Let's be honest with God. If he came back today, are you honestly ready to meet him with your life like it is right now? Anybody else? Say, preacher, pray for me. Anybody? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? All right. Now, Father, the invitation is yours, and I pray that those that have raised their hand and acknowledge that they need prayer, that, Father, that you would bless them. Some have issues of life and needs in their life that they need to make right. Maybe, Lord, there's some hurt there. Maybe there's some bitterness or anger there. Or maybe there's some frustrations going on in their life. Maybe, Lord, there's some injustices that have been done in their life. Whatever the case may be, that's standing in the way of them wholly following Jesus Christ, that they would come this morning and settle up with you and leave out of this place a joyful believer. There are some that need to be saved. There were two or three that raised their hand. I pray, Lord God, that they would come. Please don't let them leave this morning without Christ. And then, Lord, I pray that for those that need to be baptized, that they would come and follow you in believer's baptism. Thank you again for the invitation time. This is where, Lord, it all draws to a conclusion. Now it's time to respond and put to practice the lecture from the Word of God that you gave us this morning. And we'll ask you to have your way in it all now, in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand to your feet with me? The instrument's going to begin to play, but the Shaddocks is going to begin to sing. If you raise your hand, doesn't matter what the purpose and reason is, you come this morning. You come. Say, preacher, I'm not ready to face the Lord in the condition that I'm in. Well, then you come and make right whatever you need to make right. We've got people, men, that'll pray with men, and we've got ladies that'll pray with you. Some of you raised your hand and said, preacher, I'm not saved. Please don't leave today without Christ. The gates of death may face you today. January the 16th may be your day that those gates are opened up to you and you depart from this life. Would you come and settle that? If you've got a question, would you come? Whatever your need is, feel free to come. Hey, the altar is a place for us to come and meet with God. Search your heart right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. What is your need? Would you come? Some have already come. Some of you raised your hand and said, preacher, I need to be baptized. Don't leave today without making that right with God. Don't come to church knowing what you need to do and leave, knowing that you need to do the exact same thing. This is decision time. While the instruments are playing and the musician is singing, you know what God's doing in your heart? God's lecturing in your heart right now about that need that you raised your hand about. Listen, put to practice. Make the application of what he's trying to get across to you today. Would you come? Maybe you're here this morning, you're looking for a church home, and you're praying about God's will. If that's your case, would you come? We'll pray with you about that. Follow God's leadership and what he would have you to do about a place to serve God. Just the instrument's going to play now. Just the instruments. While these are taking care of business with God, you may be seated in the congregation. If you'll be seated quietly, please do not move about. We still have people dealing with God. We want to give them the time that they need.